Aynen.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
You have any questions tonight?
No, but I need to go read Obadiah.
Okay.
I feel like after Raquel.
Understand.
I listened to two parts a while ago of the video. So I still have one more part to go.
Well, the last part is questions. So
Okay.
you've got out pretty much all of it. You find it effective?
Yes, but I thought you were, even though it was chopped up and I only caught words, I thought you were, I had a hard time with his accent. And also, my iPad isn't real loud, so I had to really strain to hear. But his accent with his Hebrew words, I couldn't catch most of those, but I got the gist of it.
I
But
understand it. It's the Orthodox community.
right.
They don't pronounce the letters properly. They mix it with the Yiddish sound.
Right. And you hear the S's, Teferis, and you have it didn't ring right at first, with the Ashkenazic pronunciation with that Tav. But that was my thought. I got to go read Obadiah again, and with it only being one chapter.
Brandela.
Hi,
Good
Brandy.
evening.
Hey, good evening.
You have any questions, Brandy?
Yeah, I have one question, a minor for matter question.
Hold on to it. Let's give people a chance to come on.
Okay.
It's just you and Hannah right now. We'll
Okay.
wait a few more minutes.
Okay. Did you get my message today?
Yes, it was my mistake.
Okay. That's okay.
But the phone number does not change.
Okay, that's great.
I don't know why I got that message, but anyway, he did tell me that today. And we talked about it already, so I told him you knew.
We'll wait another minute and then we'll listen to Brandy's question.
Okay.
Okay, Brandy, go ahead.
Okay. My mind doesn't matter question is, the more we listen to the Zohar, is it actually changing our DNA so that our abilities change, that we actually experience from time to time mind over matter things?
It's an excellent question. Anna, do you want to take a shot at answering it, or do you want to leave it alone for now?
No, I'd rather you do it. It okay. does change you. I'm not so sure it's DNA that changes, but it certainly does change you.
So the study of the Zohar changes you. You're just questioning whether it changes you at the DNA level to be able to do mind over matter. And that's a question
right.
that the way Brandy understands it. Because Brandy, you think that mind over matter is something that's built into your DNA, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So the answer to your question is yes and no.
I like that.
I'm not shocked at all.
Let me tell you the incident that happened.
Oh, Saturday I was wondering what was behind the question. Go ahead.
Okay, Saturday morning. I was getting ready to go somewhere, and I was curious about what the weather would be in that area. Now, I can look on my iPhone, and I have certain areas programmed in that I can consult for what the weather's going to be. I thought of that particular area, and it came up on my phone, not being programmed in. So is that not a mind over matter? I thought it, and it actually happened?
Well, if I was a scientist, my answer would be, can't be mind over matter. It has to be a fluke, and it's just coincidental. But I'm not a scientist. And so, yes, if it truly happened and you had not programmed that area into your iPhone or iPad, then the computer chip was acting on its own. So where would that come from? So it either came from your mind or it came from Hashem's mind giving you information that you needed, or it came from Satan's mind giving you information to fool you. So those are your three choices. It's up to you to decide which it is. But
okay.
Your direct question,
Jasmine,
does the study of the Zohar change you, and does it change you in the area of mind over matter, meaning psychic abilities? And the answer is yes and no, because the letters, the Aramaic, the Hebrew letters, do change you. Because they are purifying the negative aspects that are built into your body. They're correcting or helping to correct through cleansing the spiritual aspects, the impurities that you created or allowed your soul to become involved with. So the Hebrew letters do cleanse you, meaning purify you. And as you are purified, the DNA that is built into you becomes active. What modern science teaches about DNA is that we have genes that get turned on or turned off. There are switches. And
right.
those switches are related with purification. The mind over matter is a function of how pure you are, how cleansed you are. Now, if someone scans the Zohar, someone reads from the Zohar, studies the Zohar, and then goes out and does the same thing again, you were changed, but you were also tested and lost again. As an example, if someone was smoking, now we know smoking is harmful. If you changed, if you scanned, if you studied the Zohar, would it stop you from smoking? The answer is yes, for that instant. But now comes along the test and you have a desire to smoke, or someone offers you a cigarette and you take it up. Did you really change? The answer is no. Because it's not permanent. What makes it permanent and why the study of the Zohar is beneficial is that by studying Zohar, you do purify yourself and you are given an opportunity to remain purified by your free choice.
Jasmine needs.
I'm getting a lot of background noise. I don't know. I think somebody else came on. So, thank you. So, Randy, does that clear?
Yes, it's clear. I have another question.
Want to follow up with you? Go ahead.
Well, before you ask the other question. I was praying for you that day because I knew the idea of traveling, you know, that we go to class on Shabbat, we're breaking a mitzvah to do a mitzvah. So could not my prayers for your safety have also had an effect on
sure.
you getting good information about the weather?
Your prayers definitely had an effect, but as I was understanding what Brandy said is that she was talking about the weather forecast that came over her phone or her pad. So it wasn't that.
Right.
So. Your prayers could have created the condition that could have changed the anticipated weather. Usually one person's prayers are not sufficient. It usually takes a community.
Well,
and in many cases,
day.
It takes
a community. There wasn't a bit of rain that day. It was a beautiful, sunshiny day.
Baruch Hashem.
But you answered my question in the fact that it was mind over matter, being matter was a physical object, and that I thought it, and the physical object changed to accommodate what I was thinking. The same way as, although I'm not pure, that a Zadik could think that he wants a chicken for Sabbath meal, and doesn't have the money to pay for it, and the chicken appears. That's mind over matter.
Yes, that is mind over matter. I'm not so sure that the computer showing you what you wanted to see, your phone showing you whether you wanted to see is mind over matter. Because I'd go deeper and ask the question, why do you need to know what the weather's going to be? Does that mean you were going to go or not go based on what the computer said?
No, it was.
That's
it was It would tell me how I would physically dress, what type of, you know, to either be cold or hot.
So that now it's talking about your personal comfort, which sounds to me like a desire to receive for oneself alone. And I can guarantee you that the Zohar doesn't relate to a desire to receive for oneself alone.
Thank you.
Remind us of the three stages. Mind over matter is just one of the stages. What is it? Mind is matter is another stage. I'm trying to remember. I can see it on the comment on your, you know, on your screen of your commentary. But I can't remember what the three are.
Mind is matter is the highest level.
Okay.
Mind over matter is the middle level, and it's the one that we are striving to reach at this stage in human development. And mind and matter is the typical world of the physical world right now. The mind and matter indicates a separation.
Right.
The nature, physical laws operate independently, so we think they operate independently from the human consciousness. In reality, they're operating with an effect by human consciousness, but we don't recognize it normally. Most people do not recognize it.
So is that how, like, you're talking about the consciousness creates the hurricane or the typhoon or the rain or the snow?
No. Well, yeah, ultimately, the answer is yes. But more typically, to make it easier to understand, human activity creates the hurricane or the tornado. Or the bright sunny day. What is human activity? When you do positive actions of sharing, when you do negative actions of sharing, you do negative actions of creating pain and suffering and blockages for another person. Ultimately, those things depend are a function of your consciousness. But it's easier for most people to understand it and say that human activity affects the natural laws. Nature, as an example, nature, the laws of nature say the earth has a desire to receive that is growing. As it grows, mountains get taller to indicate that the desire to receive of the earth has grown. They get taller in an orderly way, half an inch a year, a centimeter every 3 months. I'm just making up these numbers. I'm not saying that's the normal way, but that's the way the physical laws work. Now along comes man, and all of a sudden, there's a blockage for that mountain to grow the inch this year. And it takes 100 years before that blockage is removed. And when it's removed, the mountain is going to grow 100 inches, which means there's going to be an earthquake. And that's where the tectonic plates ride over each other, and you get these big earthquakes. And when it happens in the oceans, it's creating tsunamis. Human activity creates the blockages. Human activity creates the blockages, but also creates the negative events. And those negative events are planned as wake-up calls, unless the person has had a spiritual court say it's time for them to leave. Am I being clear?
Yes. That was really good.
Any other questions?
I have another question. I had an incident today, and I don't know quite how to explain it. I was talking to...
Before you tell us the incident, tell me why it needs to be explained.
Because I'm... Okay. You know, curiosity killed the cat.
Among other animals.
Right. And I'm curious to find out why there was a manipulation in the physical.
Okay, so what's the incident?
The incident is I was talking to a friend of mine, well, an acquaintance, and my earring flew out of my ear. I had a dangle earring. I didn't touch it. I didn't knock into something. I didn't brush into something. It wasn't a piece of clothing like removing a sweater or a coat or whatever. It flew off my ear and fell on the floor. So I'm curious, why did that physical object, to me, it defied the laws of, I don't know, space.
Well, it never defies the laws of space or never defies the physical laws. It just may be operating in a different frame of reference, a spiritual frame where the spiritual principles and the spiritual laws of physics are different. But
okay.
Just for to be curious, do you have a pierced ear?
Yes.
So when it fell off and fell on the floor, where was the backing?
It has no
backing.
Right. It had no backing. It was a loop. It was a half circle that actually slipped through my ear and had a significant amount in the back to hold it on.
Okay.
So it was actually looped into my ear.
Right. Okay. I got the picture. And the wind came and blew it off, or?
No, I was in a department store, and I was standing still.
And were you sweating, or were you not sweating?
No, I wasn't sweating.
Well, now you know why it fell on the floor. Because your skin was so dry that there was no affinity between the material of the ring and your skin that
held
it on.
Oh.
Now, I'm giving you a scientific explanation or a potential explanation.
Okay.
Now,
I buy that.
We're saying that it fell on the floor. I would, from a spiritual level, I'd say, what was the last dream question you asked, and this is your answer.
I should have said more in my explanation. The person that was actually a friend of my deceased husband, and we were actually talking about him and his passing, and she was sorry that she didn't find out, she explained, till after he had, you know, several months had been gone. But not gone, because we know we're not gone. But anyway, so...
Do you need to know if she was actually telling you the truth about that she didn't know? Do you need to know that?
Really,
is there something between the two of you that's important?
It's not important. It doesn't matter to me.
But it could be part of your tikkun. Is it possible that it's part of your tikkun, and that's the answer for you? By your earring falling off onto the floor and you noticing it, there was an exchange of energy between you and the other person. And that's what's part of your tikkun.
Well, it was
and
probably
you needed
energy.
To have... Brandy, it's helpful if you listen instead of talking and ask continuing to give additional explanation.
Excuse me.
It's not a problem. It's just the issue of you're not getting the information when you're talking. And I'm not understanding the whole picture without you telling me the whole picture. But it, obviously we're being recorded, and so I'm hesitant to ask those questions because I don't know what the answers are, and I don't want to embarrass anybody. But just to give you an idea, spiritually, there was a reason why it fell off as a wake-up call or as an exchange of energy. Who picked it up? Hold on a second. Come in. Come in. Come in. I'm good, isn't it? Right here. Thank you.
No problem.
I appreciate it.
I hope you're having a great evening.
I am.
And I hope you're okay.
Thank you. Is that all of it?
That is everything. What I gave you. Always little tiny packages, but...
They do that. Thank you. It'll close. I'm back. So
good.
The question is, what I was saying is I'm asking the question, and it's a rhetorical question, it's just for you to think about, who actually picked up the earring from the floor?
She did.
If it was you, yeah, that's what I thought. I was going to say if it was you, it was one thing, and if it was her, it's another. But if she picked up, it's basically you owed her the ring, and she had an opportunity to not accept that energy from you. So she handed it back to you, and that's what the cleansing of the tikkun was.
Okay. That's good.
Now, I've twice lost earrings here in the house the same way. They just fell off, and it might have taken me a couple of days to find them. One time I even lost one in Israel in a store, and it happened that one of the salesmen saved it. It was special to me because of the color. But I'm saying that to say, can it just simply be that you just tilted your ear, your head, maybe even when you saw her and you said hello, and it just slipped off your ear.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Jasmine.
Well, now that we're a little, you know, I feel like a little comfy. You know what I've been going through this last week? And I just wanted to hear, as I asked you the other day, the spiritual side of the issue that I went through. I don't know if you want to just to give me.
I think I gave you that spiritual side in our discussions.
Well, but it was not clear, really. That's what I'm asking again.
I realized that. But to bring people up to date, or to give some clarity, Jasmine works as a sales representative, and she was arranged a sale to one of her customers from one of her suppliers, and it got canceled. The order was canceled, and then it was reinstated. But in reality, what happened was her email system was hacked, and the information that she received where the money was to be wired transferred was incorrect. And it didn't go to her supplier, it went somewhere into the banking system. Somebody was stealing money. And after the fact, she realized what mistakes she had made. But the reality is the money was gone, and what could she do? And we discussed alternatives, and she followed through with that. And we're waiting to hear whether the banking system was able to get the money back and return it to her customer. What I had said to you, if my memory serves, Jasmine, was the issue was a test for you because you were feeling guilt. You were feeling responsible. Were you responsible? If the money is not returned, are you willing to step up and pay the money? And I know it's a significant amount of money, and you may not have that money right now. But if it's your responsibility, then you would need to owe it. Or conversely, it could be that money was owed to wherever it ended up in the banking system, and the person who stole the money is getting the money due him from Lot's lifetime by your customer. And it's really not your responsibility. And all of the nervousness and anxiousness associated with this last week and the uncertainty about what was happening was a test for you to grow your certainty. So the three people have a tikkun in different aspects. Now, I hope it's clear now.
But just to add one thing, I didn't tell you that it happened, that person happened to hack, and tried to hack me, to hack the same thing, the same way again. It's just that I realized that it was a it's like that person is right there in my computer looking at every step that I do. And they tried Monday to do it again. But I realized that was the same thing.
You were more hyper alert, and you read the email more closely. So.
Oh, yeah, I definitely, yes.
But again, to the person who is stealing the money, it is possible that from last lifetime they're owed the money from your customer, but they're not owed more money.
Oh,
in this lifetime, that person is taking the role of a thief because they don't have certainty that Hashem will provide their resources and their parnasah. So they try and steal it from people. And so the first person, your first customer, did owe the money, but your second one didn't. And you were just being a channel from Hashem to make sure that the process was only in the one customer. And that's why you didn't see the email correctly in the first one. Always remember, if it's your tikkun, you're never going to see it clearly. That's why Hashem created all of our senses to be limited. And they get veiled. So I hope it's clear now.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
By the same token.
Tomorrow is...
I was trying to think of how to say this. By the same token, because she shared her story and we're hearing it, it plays a part for us, doesn't it, in our tikkun?
That is correct. That is correct, because she's curious about it, and she needed to hear it a second time, because I had not put it in exactly those words to her, but very similar words. But it's part of her tikkun, so she wasn't able to hear it the way I had said it. And I'm not saying that she was wrong. If it's part of your tikkun, you know, things don't come through as clearly as we would like. Because if it did come through that way, it takes away free choice. But Hannah is right. Because you heard the story, it's part of your tikkun also.
Really?
How that plays out is a function of each person. Each person's tikkun and their tikkun with that soul, the two souls involved, plus Jasmine. The two souls involved are Jasmine's customer and Jasmine's supplier. But each of us who are listening to the story have a tikkun with those two people from maybe the same lifetime, maybe a different lifetime.
I didn't know what's going to be so extended, really.
Everything is always interrelated.
Maybe we were tellers in the bank.
Everyone is always one soul. We just think of ourselves as separate. We're not.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. You're welcome. Wow. Gotta have
tomorrow
a lot of
Thursday.
Imagination.
You have a lot of what?
I mean, Hannah has a big imagination.
That was one thing I learned teaching second grade.
But tomorrow being Thursday, there'll be a mini Zohar class at 4:30, and at 7:00 will be a regular Zohar class. And we're dealing with the Parasha of Vayera and its energy of connecting to Rosh Hashanah all over again.
Wow.
You all have a beautiful evening.
Do you know what section you're going to
do? Go ahead.
Do you know what section of Ira you're going to work on?
Hold on a second. I'll look it up. I think it's... I've forgotten. Let me look it up. I believe it's section 10.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me confirm that. Yeah, it's section 10.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're all welcome.
Thank you.
Have a beautiful evening.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.